Hello, Madison. You are listening to Perpetual Notion Machine in the shattered post-hail future. I'm your mad scientist host, Wally, and with me again in another studio evening is a fellow mad scientist, Tanja Marie, codename Tornado Cat.
Meow.
She is an emergency alert coordinator for the UW at daytime, a music security guard at nighttime, but an elite competitor anytime she touches a handle in one of my top three all-time table sports. That's right, table soccer. Turns out there's a lot more to the art and science of this fast game than your average folk would see up at the Paradise Lounge on a Friday. So Tornado Cat is here to share some pro tips on and the healing power of foosball. So Tanja, thanks for coming in.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Oh, yeah. It's okay, well, you know what? You said it before. First question you got to ask, is there spinning?
There is no spinning.
No spinning.
No. However, you can go 359 degrees.
That's just short of 369 degrees. Wait, 60 degrees.
Which is a full circle.
Right.
Yeah.
So, but 369 is out as well, 361. 368 would be fine. 358 would be fine. So that's the snake shot?
The snake shot. And whoa. 359 is fine.
Yeah, right. I've seen you do this, and it looks like you're, I don't know. It looks actually really painful.
It's not.
Okay.
I did have some bruises to get it not painful, though.
She's hardened. She's a hardened snake wrangler. That's awesome. So I love to take what we think of as your everyday or maybe every Wednesday evening topic or, you know, bar time game, maybe being a mom, maybe doing art, and talk about the science of why it's important to do so. And you have a great story of why foosball, you know, saved your life. So what got you into foosball in the first place?
Well, I started playing with my dad as a kid. And then it turned into something I did for money, but it's always been for fun.
Okay. Well, I mean, making money is fun.
Yeah. And you can have fun making money. That's funner.
And if I recall too, you said that it helped you with your hand-eye dexterity and like even getting over like a temporary kind of disability for a minute, right?
Well, yeah, I had bifocals and, went to eye therapy and, worked on my dexterity and then ended up playing foosball, which, you know, after years of playing, I ended up with better than 20/20 vision.
By staring at the foosball table?
No, by flowing with it.
By flowing with it. Okay.
Yeah.
So you know, if you all know foosball, so we'll do a little bit of history here. So we call it table soccer, here in America because we call football soccer. But you were telling me that it was invented by Germans or something?
Well, there's a murky water of where it really came from. But when you do a deep search, it came out of Germany during World War II when they couldn't go outside and play soccer.
Sure.
And so it's called Tischfuß.
Ah. Tischfuß, which is like, okay, so some, and then we call it, but it's known as foosball. I mean, that's really, if you say table soccer, now if you say table hockey, you might mean a couple things. Also fun table games, but not nearly the level of necessarily competition. Maybe there is, honestly. That's what you get into these things. It's amazing. So tell me a bit about your competitive side and how, what you've done to prove your skill.
Well, I started playing state tournaments, local $20,000 tournaments, regional tournaments, so I've won quite a few of women's singles, doubles, national titles, state titles, and grew up and realized I was still the best woman in the state after coming back and 10 years off. And the kid that I grew up playing with is number one in the world.
Mm.
So he's originally from here in Wisconsin, too.
Sweet. And so it's not just raw power, because if you see people playing at really high levels, so that's the thing. It gets into physics. But the physics seems so out of any one moment. You know, how do you read? That thing is ricocheting around like crazy. So How do you take what looks like chaos and make it into a winning series?
Well, I mean, it's your body is trained after a while of repetitive, you know, it's got the muscle memory down. So, you know, you think about it and your body reacts. And sometimes you just get into that flow to grab it and then you just react, you know, without feeling like you've even thought about it. You just kind of flow with it. And the difference between, I would say, like a beginner that's getting into it and somebody that is a pro or pro master that's been doing it for years is they don't have to hit it hard. I mean, it's about, you know, accuracy and finding a way to cut in that flow. You're trying to fight somebody from the other side of the mm-hmm. table mm-hmm. and cut in that flow.
So you can kind of almost read their mind, huh? Like you get to know, you get to know the people's ticks and you have to, knowing, I like foosball. Shout out to Chad Bourne, sixth floor. Used to have a foosball table. Maybe that's the coolest, loudest, most non-studying lounge. So you do get into a state where someone's just getting, you know, super angst up or whatever, but you have to be able to like kind of read what the flow of it and know your shots and maybe know what they're going to do and start to anticipate. We have a huge amount of mental cortex devoted to facial recognition and the ability to predict another human.
Well, your brain uses predictive processing. I mean, it builds models based on past patterns, you know, so reaction alone would be too slow at these mm-hmm. high levels. By the time you react, it's basically already decided.
Got you. And it's kind of high pressure, isn't it?
Well, and that's the difference, you know, is once you get to those pro levels, is you learn to train yourself not to be high pressure, mm-hmm. you know, to not react over stress. Staying calm and staying in your game is what the pros do.
I was just watching I was just doom scrolling, watching some YouTube, and they're saying, well, you know, women's ability to stay calm, and especially like competitive sports, that's more important, might be better off even than men. We have this kind of dichotomy that having more testosterone is better for sports, but I don't think that's always true by any means, depending upon the game. It is a beautiful game. So okay, science as well gets into a favorite table, or how do they level the tables? Because I played on some very unlevel tables where them balls are rolling all over the place. You just like stick napkins underneath it. That's what we would do.
So there's little screws on the bottom mm-hmm. that re-level it.
If you find it to be like, can you call like, unlevel, and you know, if
absolutely.
You notice it, yeah, it's a
absolutely
happen.
Table
yeah.
maintenance.
Table maintenance, that makes sense. Yeah, it's got to be important because high quality. Also, no spinning because you don't want to bust the little dudes. They're important. They take care of your ball back and forth. What about the dynamics between predicting your own play and then playing doubles? You can play 2-on-2, or even I think you should be 3-on-3 or something like that. Or how does that change as far as your flow?
Well, I mean, knowing how your partner flows, you have to anticipate how their energy is going to pass up to you. I mean, that's why having the perfect partner, you know, matters a mm-hmm. lot. Somebody that you can really flow with.
What do you prefer? Singles, doubles? Are they? Does it? It's probably got to be. It's kind of a mental state, right? I guess I could go back and forth, but I played doubles tennis just because I was bad at serving, so. What can you tell me about spin? How do you generate spin? Is that important? I mean, you stop it, you kick it. I know that's kind of a thing. I've seen things bounce around like crazy. But is that part of the game, or are you thinking about that? You know, it's like a side pass, side cut kind of thing, putting some torque on it?
Oh, absolutely. Kind of like the game of pool, you know, how you put the spin on the ball and mm-hmm. use a little English. Foosball has the exact same thing. You know, we can do cutbacks and straight ins, but the spin is pretty fun. We definitely work with that.
I'd imagine so. I've never been quite that high level at playing foosball. So it's a game though that can be, I think, pretty exciting and pretty accessible. And especially if you're playing, what would you have some favorite tables around town, or you can recommend some folks like what's going on?
Well, just because it's close to my house, I'd say the Paradise Club, because I can mm-hmm. just walk like a couple blocks. But I'd have to say the Harmony has a pretty nice table. And then Pitcher's Pub, once a week, they do league on Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. Beginners play free. And that's kind of nice because they do a monster draw with that, where, you get in and you play with every single person. You partner with everybody. And they take your points, and the lowest rated player plays with the highest rated player at the end when they draw it up.
Okay.
So it's pretty balanced of energy.
You've also told me a bit about there's like a psychology to foosball, that you're almost saying that when you see someone play, you can read more than just their physical dexterity, but almost like their mental state, or like how, like it's like a tarot card, or like a psychology assay. That's like an ENFPN or whatever the Myers-Briggs.
Yeah.
So tell me more about that.
Well, I mean, I think the funny thing is when people's ego show through, you know, I mean, they get excited about scoring a shot, and, you know, they just get really excited about it. Then there's some people that are just, you can tell they're very humble. And it's just, you can read how their energy is in a short period of time, because it's really, it is a high energy game. It's going back and forth in a matter of seconds. And so, and it's basically an action reaction game that doesn't allow somebody to think about their actions. They just act naturally. And so that's how it's an easy, you kind of a Briggs test to see how somebody is.
Any tips for those out there? Because I know sometimes getting in your head, like, it's easiest to defeat yourself. Do you stay calm? Do you get hyped up? Are you in that flow state? Are you thinking, do you have like a Zen mantra, or are you staring at parts of the board, or how do you see yourself psychologically controlling the stress of that game? Do you have any tips or things that work for you? And what do you do if things are going wrong?
Well, sometimes I feel that somebody on the other side of the table is reading me too well, and I really need to switch it up, whether it's I need to gain momentum and energy, but I don't want to turn around and start playing their game. That's where it kind of gets, you know, somebody gets on a table and they start playing really fast, and it's easy to try to just jump into that energy of what they're playing. You have to take yourself back and play your game. You know, for me, I like a medium pace game where I have control to sit, you know, at a medium pace. But if somebody is playing really fast, I like to switch it up to slow because it kind of contradicts what they're doing. And sometimes they'll go around the ball three times because they are playing so fast.
Is there like a stall count where you can't just have your foot on the ball indefinitely? Do you have to be touching it? I don't know that rule of the game. A lot of things like that. I mean, it's ultimate frisbee. You can't just stand there, because I've seen you play, and you'll do like a fake kick move, back forth, fake out, and then blammo. Can you do that indefinitely?
Yeah, I mean, no. There's time limits for each rod. You know, the 5-bar, the middle, where you have all of your guys, that's called your master rod.
Okay.
Because that's what changes the momentum of the game as to the front or the back of the field.
Gotcha.
And so you have 20 seconds on that rod, 15 seconds on your front rod to shoot. So it is timed. And during big matches, they will actually sit there with refs with timers, keeping track of your time on each rod.
It's almost like speed chess.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're clicking through it, or yeah, no
pinball chess,
pinball wizardry for sure. Are there exercises that you can do? Are there like rep? Like, what do you do for practice? You just play?
Yeah, I will get on a table by myself, and I will do repetitions from my 5-bar, throwing it back to the 3-rod, back and forth, and I will go with every single guy, starting with the one closest to me, and everyone passing it back and forth, just to get my, you know, reaction timing down.
That is a dedication to a fine craft.
Yeah, and that goes in back and forth with the hand-eye control, which also helped, you know, help my vision.
I'm fascinated by this too, the fact that you can do that. This was a therapy that allowed you to get out of, get, relax your high side of bifocals, and that's kind of remarkable. I've been pretty much blind since third grade. Class C, I mean, you know, I'm not blind, but I got to play more foosball, I suppose. You picked a song for our little midsection of the show. Do you want to give us a little intro to why you picked the song and what it's about and who sung it?
People Brothers Band out of Wisconsin. I just absolutely love the flow of this song, and it's a nice local band.
So this is Living Your Best Life by the People's Brothers Band, based out of Madison and the Driftless Music Gardens. Take it away, Daniel.
Woke up feeling good today, feeling the sunshine kiss my face. So full of joy, I'm glowing like a rainbow. Let some water refresh my soul, getting ready to hit the road. Wearing a smile from my head down to my tiptoes. 'Cause I'm living my best life. Feel the rush of the outside air, taking the beauty everywhere. I count the many reasons to be thankful. Living the music inside me, and I know it's my destiny. I'm feeling blessed and I'm so very grateful. 'Cause I'm living my best life.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Perpetual Notion Machine. I'm your mad scientist, Wally, here in conversation with Tanja, codename Tornado Cats. Talking about table soccer or table football, codename Foosball or Tish Foos. No spinning. So there's a mental component to the game that we talked about. And I like to say I have an art of war mentality that when I play, I already know I'm going to win. So have you ever just mentally crushed your opponents to the point where they just walk away, or you just can tell they're going to lose?
Well, it makes me sad when I have to do that.
I'm sort of right. You're like, it should be a good game. But it happens. It's amazing. If you can't stay strong in your own self, and have the physicality, sometimes you get almost like a fight or flight response.
Well, every time I walk up to the table, it's a war.
Yeah.
You're literally going to war with the person on the other side of the table.
War. Interesting. And it's exercise. So there is something with your body. It's I've heard you describe it to me as an analog video game. I love myself a video game. However, if you want to get away from the phone, away from the tablet, away from the computer screen, the TV, we have these things called parlor games, like foosball, like table hockey, like shuffleboard is one of my favorites for table games. So how can you recommend, and you're a mom as well. So is it something that you're like, kid, get off the iPad, come lose to mommy at foosball or what?
Well, I tried that a bit, but my kids are adults and so they're pretty good about that. They're better about getting outside and going hiking mm-hmm. and not stuck behind a screen. But it definitely is a physical sport to where you wouldn't think that you sweat playing foosball, making those just small movements, mm-hmm. holding onto rods on a table.
Mm-hmm.
But there's been moments where I've had sweat dripping on the table as I'm playing in the middle of a match.
Mm. Is there a reverse? Is there a video game foosball? I mean, someone at some point has to make one.
I've actually played VR foosball.
VR foosball? Oh.
Yeah.
That'd be kind of fun.
It was kind of fun.
I could see that. It's got to be interesting because you're using like those, the physical contact is way different. You don't have the biological feedback of hitting the ball or like, do you sense, are you like a spider dancing with it? Like, can you feel the vibrations? Like,
it was not as satisfying to me. No, to be physical with it and to get into the game. Is so much more fun in real life grabbing a table versus VR.
VR can be pretty fun though. VR bowling, VR whatever the VR, you know, VR zombie apocalypse. Usually for me, it's kind of my favorite. All right, so we're talking about what you can control in the game. So what are some of the things that you really have the physics to control, and what do you have to leave to flow? How do you separate those two things out in the force of a match?
Well, angle, force, I mean, those are things you can control. You can't control what the other person's doing. You're trying to predict it as it's happening. But, you know, I mean, you can control the angle, which determines most of the direction of the energy that it transfers, you know? And just one small change, like, you know, the goalie nicks it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You have to kind of rebound, readjust, come back. And so it's not all predicted, but you try to control as much as you can with it.
I've definitely been in that state with other kinds of things that are super fast. Do you know actually how fast does the ball move?
So there is, out of Michigan, somebody crafted this device where it scans how fast it's going.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like it's going so much faster than what it really is. But in reality, it's going like max about 20, 25 miles an hour by some of the best players.
And that's at a speedball, like quack.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It does seem way faster, but it's such a small space.
Yeah.
So the ricochet, how would you cheat at foosball? Are such things possible? Like, are there sticky balls? Like, what's the foosball gate, you know? If anybody's going to find a way. Maybe don't tell us, actually.
Well, the biggest thing is a distraction.
Okay.
You know, as you're in a game, if somebody, like, is continually making some odd noise to distract or putting their hand up or, just trying to, there's just weird things that people do, but for good players, they can really kind of ignore it. But when you get to that level where it's good player on good player and people start doing that, that's when we get a reft. And it's really about mm-hmm. Perception, you know, what really is a distraction and was it on purpose?
I have to imagine there's almost a bike mechanic or like arcade mechanic element to maintaining a foosball table. Have you ever cracked a player by hitting? Do you see that sometimes? Or if anybody owns a disused foosball table, what are the? I mean, do you use engine? Is it like an oil process? I mean, they're supposed to be like pretty much lightning quick and like almost frictionless.
Yeah. So there's silicone used on the rods. We maintain guys. The balls really matters. Mm-hmm. They've gotten to the point where they have cut a ball in half in order to see if there's bubbles in the ball that gives it a different roll.
Right. I could see, yeah, that would be how I would cheat, is I'd put a magnet in there. But no, just, I'm not, and if, by the way, if Tanja ever asks you to play foosball for money, you say, only if I'm on your partner. Let's go hustle some suckas. But otherwise, just give her your money anyways. It's fine.
I play for fun.
Yeah, that's good. Is there like a, who's the, so Tornado, where's Tornado foosballs, that table, where are they out of?
So there's 40 countries that compete, and there is 7 foosball tables recognized on the International Table Soccer Federation. And so Tornado Table is America's foosball table.
Got you. What are the other ones? Tsunami?
Yeah, there's, Leonhardt, Bonzini, Roberto, there's a few, there's 7 of them all together. And so, like I said, there's 40 countries, but 7 tables. And so there's other countries that use the Tornado Table, but that's based out of Texas here.
Got you. And they're kind of heavy, so I imagine shipping. So let's step back just for 1 second too. So if you're a beginner and you want to someday become national champion, female foosball player, what should a beginner understand to really get themselves going and get above that? I'm just having a beer and playing table soccer.
Well, they have to build that muscle memory. It's about the practicing of passing it back and forth. And I kind of say it's a mind, body, soul game, because it's more than just physical, it's the mental, and then it's your attitude towards it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I can be a great player and come in, but if my attitude that day is off, my energy is off, my game I feel is off. But I would definitely say, if you're going to get into it, do some repetitions, pick a few things that you really want to master, and practice, like anything, practice.
And this is your message to get off your tablet, go up to the Paradise Lounge, and play some foosball. We are not sponsored by the Paradise Lounge, but we will accept free drinks. Thanks, Paradise Lounge. Well, heck, that was fun. It always goes really fast, so it's time for our show to end already. I've been joined here in the studio with Tanja Marie, the Tornado Cat. Thanks for hanging and explaining the science of your lifestyle.
Hey, Wally. Thanks for having me.
You bet. I am your mad scientist correspondent. I've been listening here to Tanja enjoying the beautiful spring day in here in Madison, Wisconsin. This is the Perpetual Motion Machine, a tornado of conversation about the science of life, the universe, and everything, including your new obsession, foosball.